Welcome back to the Fascinating Jobs Podcast. I'm your host, Mackenzie Wilson. On this episode of the podcast, I'm sitting down with Janine Mercer, a writer and the creator and host of the Odd Entity podcast since 2017. Today's discussion will be all things podcast related, featuring tips and tricks you can use to start your very own podcast, all from an industry veteran. As always, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen so that we can grow our community. With that, let's get into episode number 9 with Janine. All right, so hi Janine, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. I'm excited to have you. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So do you just want to give a quick introduction to yourself for our listeners?
I don't know how quick it's going to be, but sure, I can do that. So I'm a podcaster. I'm the editor-in-chief of a literary journal. I also run a podcast network, and I'm a freelance writer, editor. Basically, I think that's it.
Awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I also run websites and create websites and stuff like that too, but yeah.
Wow, that's super cool. So I think today we're here to get an inside look on podcasting, which is a common hobby we both share and for our listeners who are interested in creating their own podcast. So if you could enlighten us on how you got started in the realm of podcasting, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started kind of, well, let's see. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. So I was a huge fan of the podcast My Favorite Murder. It's largely problematic and whatever. I don't listen to it anymore because it's gotten way, way worse. But I started listening to My Favorite Murder, and I thought it was a really cool thing to be able to have your own platform to kind of express yourself and talk about the things that you were passionate about. And for me, the thing that I've always been passionate about has been the weird, odd, macabre, that sort of thing. So I decided that I would start my own podcast. I originally had a co-host. Her name was Mimi. We started podcasting together in 2017.
Oh, wow.
And we started podcasting in my office, which is like creepy central because I collect all of this weird taxidermy. I call it moderately creepy. It's probably more creepy to other people, but moderately creepy taxidermy.
Yeah.
And, you know, wet specimens, mummies, all that kind of stuff. I collect all that stuff. So that was essentially the inner sanctum, and that's where we started podcasting in 2017. By close to the end of 2018, Mimi decided that she didn't really want to do the podcasting thing anymore. So then I found a new co-host. Her name was Katie, and we worked together from, I believe, the end of 2018 to the middle of 2019. So a lot of the episodes that you'll hear on my podcast feed either have Mimi or Katie in them. And the current format, after Katie left, was just me. So I had to do a lot of, reformatting, a lot of figuring out what exactly I was going to say, how much time I was going to say it in, and how I was going to, you know, how I was going to essentially format the show, with just one person so that it just didn't sound like somebody was talking at you for, you know, 30 or 40 minutes, and it was actually entertaining. So, yeah, probably since the middle of 2019, I've been doing the podcasting thing on my own. I went to a weekly format just because I feel like that's better for listeners, to be able to have a consistent update every week. It gets a little tricky. I just did a three-part series. Each episode was like 40 or 45 minutes on Jack the Ripper. So I'm taking a little bit of a break from that because it was like 3 steady hours of recording.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, editing all of that was a nightmare. But yeah, I mean, it's come a long way. I decided that once, you know, Katie was through with the whole podcasting thing, I was going to create a pod closet. So that's where I am now. And, you know, try to improve the audio as best I could. I tried to beef up the microphone a little bit, so I upgraded to a Yeti, a Blue Yeti, so that's been really nice. It's especially nice because I'm in a closet, so you know, there's none of this, like, extra noise.
Yeah.
And the Yeti has a tendency to pick up everything. It's a highly sensitive microphone, so but yeah, beyond that, I don't know if there's there's anything else I didn't touch on. But I'm sure we'll get to it.
Yeah, awesome. And I think that's like a great overview of your podcasting journey and how you kind of got here. So you mentioned that you kind of came onto the scene in 2017. And now, like 3 years later, have you seen any like major changes in the podcasting industry? Or, you know, what have you kind of noticed over the years?
Well, personally, I've noticed that listenership has skyrocketed. You know, it's really interesting because, you know, way back when people used to sit on the floor in front of their radio and listen to all of these audio dramas, and you had like Little Orphan Annie and The Shadow and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I think there was like a Pirates one, and kids used to sit down and listen to that stuff all the time. That was like a big deal. You know, it was like TiVoing your favorite show, except you had to run and sit in front of your radio before it actually came on so that you could listen to it. And I think that podcasting grew out of that. You know, a lot of people are kind of falling back into that, you know, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit in a quiet room and I'm going to listen to a podcast, or I'm going to listen to a podcast while I'm falling asleep, because that, you know, it's relaxing to listen to somebody pontificate to you, I guess. I don't really know why, but that's the magic of podcasting. But yeah, certainly I've seen my listenership go up. I've got people, you know, who contact me from all over the world now, which is kind of insane.
Oh, wow.
I recently had a listener from Amsterdam contact me and suggest some topics for my show, which is really cool because I don't generally go to that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know that much about it. So now I have like two or three different suggestions from there. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of blossomed into a passion for a lot of people. I think also there's something kind of, let me see, how can I had an interview with somebody a little while ago, and I think I expressed it like almost leaving an epitaph. And of course I'm going to go creepy because that's how I am. But it's literally like leaving something behind. It's almost like taking a little piece of yourself and putting it out there, and it's going to be there, you know, after you're gone. I think that that's kind of the allure of podcasting for a lot of people. You know, yes, you have something to say, but you're also excited that what you're saying is going to be recorded and people are going to be listening to it. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, you're stoked about it. Now, since the pandemic started, all of this insanity with the pandemic, I have seen listen and subscribe rates go down. And the reason for that is people are not commuting. So if you're not going back and forth to work and your drive is usually 45 minutes a day, or 2 hours a day, then that's 2 hours a day that you're not listening to my podcast. Because that's like your me time in the car to listen to your podcast and kind of, you know, ramp yourself up for the day. And now what you do is you walk downstairs in your pajamas and you sit in front of the computer and you go to work. And that's, you know, I mean, that's everyday life now for a lot of people. So yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen my numbers go up. Since 2017, I've definitely got a higher listenership, but since the pandemic, we've certainly started to, kind of go down the other side of the hill as far as listen and subscribe rates go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you make a good point about, you know, people like not commuting, or I like walk to and from my school, but like even I used to listen to stuff, you know, like walking.
Right.
Back, but I think that I do agree in that we've seen like a general increase in like the popularity of podcasting, because
right.
I feel like if you would have asked me in 2017 what a podcast was, or you know, 2016, I would have been like, huh, wait, what?
Right.
But I mean, here you see me with my own podcast. So I definitely think
right.
that you bring up some good points. So you mentioned a lot about like listenership growing. So are there any like techniques that you use to grow your show over the past couple years?
Well, I mean, you know, I think the most important thing is probably to be as active on social media as you possibly can. I've seen an increase in listeners because of the Facebook page that I have. I'm also on Twitter. I'm thinking about getting rid of Twitter because I'm not really seeing as much interaction on Twitter. I feel like Twitter's not for that. I don't know if I'm missing something as far as Twitter is concerned. I mean, I've been on it for years and years and years, but there's just something about Twitter that, it, you know, people just don't interact with your posts the way that they normally would on Facebook or Instagram. I think it's really important to try to update at least once a day. You know, give your viewers, give your followers something to latch onto every day. Let them know that you're there. That's very important. When you kind of lax and stop doing that sort of thing, your numbers are going to be affected because people just aren't going to be thinking about, oh, you know, yeah, you know, on Thursday, you're going to have this video drop, or on Sunday, you know, you're going to have a new episode drop, or, you know, you're going to post a weird fact on Wednesday or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, so you want to make sure that you're constantly like pulling on those strings to make sure that people are reacting in the way that you want them to. And certainly, I mean, between the three, between Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, I would have to say that Instagram is probably, I've seen the most growth through Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I have the most followers on Instagram. Facebook, I think I have like 153 people following me. That's since 2017, so I mean, it's a long time.
Yeah.
On Twitter, I think there's maybe like 2,000 people. And on Instagram, there's almost 3,000 people. Now, the Instagram is not, I think it's like maybe a year and a half old.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, for that amount of growth, you know, that's pretty impressive. Another thing that I think is really important is connecting with others from your podcasting community. You know, kind of like we're doing now, you know, set up a Zoom interview, talk to people about what they're doing with their podcasts, you know, promote that on your social feeds. They can take, you know, advertisements, like little 30-second advertisements. You know, just go with that. Make a little 30-second advertisement that says, this is my podcast. This is what it's about. This is when I release it. Please listen to me.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, it's amazing. It works wonders. So yeah, I mean, definitely connect with your fellow podcasters, connect with that community. On Instagram, something that has been very helpful is, we create like these little chat rooms. So I've got like two or three little chat rooms running that are all fellow podcasters who are releasing episodes. You know, they're promoting each other on their podcasts. And they're really, I mean, they're seeing noticeable growth because more people are paying attention. It's like, oh, wait, well, I listened to this podcast. Well, wait, what are you advertising now? Oh, well, I've never listened to a podcast like that, but I'll give it a try. And then you try another podcast, and then you try another podcast. So, I mean, it, you know, it snowballs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that, you know, it's really important as a podcaster to lift other people up. And to help them as much as you can so that, you know, they can also experience the growth that you're experiencing. Because it's not all about making money, you know? I mean, that's, a lot of people don't understand, like, in the life of my podcast since 2017, I have made maybe $200 from my podcast. Maybe. And that's enough to cover 2 years worth of hosting. So, I mean, not everybody who starts a podcast is going to get famous. I think a lot of people think that they're going to start a podcast and then the next thing you know, oh my God, McDonald's is going to be my sponsor and I'm going to make $1 million. And it's, you know, it just doesn't work like that. It's like, you know, I'm a writer and I do freelance stuff, but I also submit my work so that it can be critiqued by other writers because it's a community, right? So we all work together. And, I mean, for me, like as a writer, I've made $100. You know, from my writing, like actually submitting it and getting it accepted somewhere, $100. And I graduated from my bachelor's degree in like 2013. And, you know, I had a bachelor's degree in writing and then I went and I got a master's degree in creative writing and still $100. So, I mean, you have to be realistic, you know, like yeah. you have to look at it and be like, what am I doing this for? Am I doing it for myself? Am I doing it because I'm passionate about something and I have something to say? Am I doing it for other people because I saw a niche and, you know, I want to try to fit myself into, you know, kind of that category where there wasn't anything before? You know, what am I doing it for? And if the answer to what am I doing it for is money, turn off your microphone, throw it away. Just give up. Because
<Yeah.
laughs> it's not, you know... The chances of you striking it rich making a podcast are slim to none.
Yeah, and I think that...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you raised, like, a really good point there. That's something that we were talking about, I think, on episode 2, where we have a girl who's, like, you know, maybe, like, a more bigger YouTube personality, and she said, like, basically along the lines of the same thing. Like, you know, you should be doing it for yourself. And I think that you bring up another good point in that the podcast community right now is so strong, and especially on Instagram, I've seen on... Twitter. I mean, I'm kind of newer to the game, so I'm still kind of figuring things out. But you were mentioning about how a good strategy for growth is to post every day, and you were mentioning how you kind of like think out what you're posting. So how do you kind of like stay organized with all of this? It seems like a little bit hectic sometimes.
Well, I personally enjoy post-it notes. I'm a child of the 80s, so I enjoy pieces of paper stuck everywhere. But I mean, largely, I just input stuff into my iPhone, and it gives me a little prompt and says, hey, today you said you were going to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's literally like, after each episode, I'm like, okay, what the hell did I say today? You know, like, look at my show notes. Okay, so I did this and this and this. I talked about that. You know, I pushed my merch, whatever. And I also said that I was going to post a video on Wednesday. Cool. So then you go in, you know, and you type in a little notification, and it pops up on Wednesday, and it's like, hey, dude, you said you were going to do something on Wednesday. Go do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's really simple to just, you know, create a schedule and figure all that stuff out. I mean, the most work I've found as far as podcasting is concerned is creating the content.
Mm-hmm.
That's what takes me the longest. Because ultimately, you know, the content is, I mean, it's 30 minutes solid of content, which is like, I think it's like almost 6,000 words. So I'm creating about 6,000 words a week, with the Jack the Ripper stuff that I just finished up. I mean, that was substantially more, because they were like 50 minute episodes. They were kind of insane, but yeah, I mean, it's really just about like managing your time, scheduling yourself. You know, don't freak out about it. Like if you like doing it, and the reason why you're doing it is because you're passionate about it and you want to, you know, you know that you're in it for the long haul and you want to keep doing it, just pace yourself. Like if you say that you're going to post once a week and the 1 week you don't really feel good, you know, you're just kind of like, you know, you're a little depressed or something. God knows the crap that's going on in the world right now is going to make people depressed. Like, it's going to happen. And we're all human. So, you know, like, if you feel like you need a week off, you need to release that episode a couple of days later because, you're just not feeling it. You know, take that and put it on the back burner and release it a couple of days later. Because ultimately it's going to be better than whatever you're going to put out on that day where you're not really feeling, you know, you're not feeling it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, schedule the crap out of yourself. It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and I think that you make a really good point there that sometimes if you need a break, or you should just, like, take that break because your content will ultimately thank you. And one thing that I kind of did starting this show was I filmed, like, maybe five or six episodes. Not film, recorded like five or six episodes before I even started like posting them. So that way I'm kind of a little bit ahead. So you mentioned that one of the hardest things about the podcast is coming up with the content. So how do you come up with like ideas for different episodes?
So content creation is kind of an interesting animal. Generally what I do before I select a topic is I podcast through Podbean. So I'll go onto my Podbean account and I'll look at my statistics. And if my statistics say last week, this episode that you did on Urban Legends was super popular and it got like 400 downloads. The week before that, you did something on the paranormal and it got 250 downloads, which is still, I mean, you know, it's still a good number. But maybe the following week, you know, you plan on doing something that's more Urban Legend related. Or, you know, you do something more haunting related, or you do like medical anomalies, or, you know, I mean, I do a lot of kind of different weird stuff. I don't really pigeonhole myself into like one weird macabre item, like a lot of podcasters do. I don't really have a theme other than weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'll look at the statistics and I'll say, okay, so it seems like the Urban Legend episodes are doing better. You know, recently, so maybe I'll create one that's an Urban Legend episode. Or, you know, I'll look back and I'll say, well, you know, when I did an interview, that was really popular, so I'm going to try to do an interview every season. So that's what I do now. I create an episode that is just an interview. It's me interviewing I've interviewed an author that deals in the paranormal. I've interviewed a paranormal documentarian. She works at Sweet Springs Sanitarium in Sweet Springs, West Virginia. So it's a very cool place. And then recently, when I learned how to Zoom like 2 days ago, I interviewed Michelle Belanger, who was on Paranormal State. I don't know if you are familiar with that show.
Yeah, I've definitely heard of it. That's super cool.
With Ryan Buell and I think it's in Pennsylvania, Paranormal State. But yeah, so I interviewed her most recently. So, I mean, I have another interview with Adam Seltzer, who does like Mysterious Chicago. So that's coming up. So every season, I try to do one interview, and I'll make it be the last episode of the season.
Cool.
And it seems like people, I mean, it's nice to kind of shake up the format because it's just me talking to you. Which, I mean, I try to make it funny and I try to make it cute and I try to, you know, kind of like add little things to it to make it more interesting. Background music and stuff like that. But, I mean, for the most part, it's just me talking. So I think it's nice to be able to kind of break it up and say, okay, you know, now it's not going to be me just talking. It's going to be this expert in the paranormal or this author or, you know, this tour guide or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it's been really cool to be able to add those interviews. And I think my listeners appreciate it.
Yeah, cool. And I think that this is an interview-based podcast, as our listeners can probably tell. But are there any, like, kind of tips or, like, do's and don'ts that you have for interviewing, and how is it different than like doing an episode just by yourself?
So my bachelor's degree, I majored in communication and writing.
Mm-hmm.
So coming from a communication standpoint, it's really interesting when you're interviewing someone or you're being interviewed that you give that other person time to talk, because you know you don't necessarily want to take over the entire conversation. Most recently, when I had my interview with Michelle Belanger, I was a huge Paranormal State fan. Like, my high school experience every Friday night was sitting down with a bag of popcorn on my bed and watching Paranormal State, and I could not get enough of that show. That was my jam. And so talking to her, like, and we were talking on Zoom so I could actually see her, and I'm like trying not to fangirl because I'm like, you're so, like, this show was so cool, it was so awesome, this was my teenage, you know, experience. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, allowing her the time to speak, allowing her to kind of jump in and be like, okay, you know, like, you said this. Yes, I agree. You know, no, I don't agree, kind of thing. You want to make sure that you have a good back and forth and a good rapport. I always try to break the ice with something like with Michelle. I said, so just out of curiosity, you know, everybody's Zooming now. How guilty are you of wearing pajama pants to a Zoom meeting? And so, you know, she laughed and she, you know, whatever. And so once you break the ice, that's, I mean, it's all gravy from there. You know, you sit down, you talk to that person as if you've known them forever. You know, they're your friend. They're somebody who has something in common with you. So you just kind of bounce ideas off one another. I always tell my guests that if I ask them something and they don't want to answer it, just say pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to answer it. I'm totally cool like that. Like, I'm not going to ask you a question and then be like, well, but you have to, you know, like, no, you have to answer it, because like one of my listeners asked a question and I prefaced the question with, now, if you don't want to answer this question, please let me know and I will cut it out and we just won't have it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a big deal. And I think that she was kind of like, oh, well, what, you know, like, what kind of question is it? You know, like, I have no idea. And I said, well, you know, we'll cut it out, or we can go ahead, or what, you know, whatever works. And so, yeah, I mean, we did the entire interview. She answered every question. It was totally cool. And then, you know, at the end, as you're kind of wrapping it up, what have you, you know, you let people advertise themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, you know, if you have a book coming out, you know, Michelle has like 3 dozen books or something under her belt. Like, it's insane.
Oh, wow.
She's constantly writing things. And so, yeah, I mean, Patrick Whitehurst was the paranormal author that I had on my show. You know, I let him have the last like 5-6 minutes, you know, what are you selling right now? You know, what other podcasts are you going to be on? If people want to reach out to you about anything, how can they do that? That sort of thing. So yeah, I mean, you want to make sure that the questions that you're asking first off are reasonable. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get confrontational. You want for people to feel very comfortable. You also want to make sure that the questions that you're asking have kind of a conversational quality, because if you're just asking questions that have yes or no answers, it's like, yep. And then that's it. Yeah. You know, I mean, your question is done. So you're like, so how do you feel about, you know, or let's see, for example, you know, I know that you wrote a book about A, B, and C. So-and-so also wrote this. How do you feel about this kind of interpretation of that work? And then they can kind of come in and you can bounce out, you know, ideas off one another. And it's more fluid. It's more relaxed. Mm-hmm. And overall, the quality of your interview is going to be a lot higher, because you're two people talking versus a fangirl who's talking to somebody on Zoom who can't, like, is trying to stifle it as best she can. But yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, take your time. Number one, make sure that you have the questions that you want to ask prepared ahead of time. Offer your guest the option to see the questions before you ask them. I've had some people in the past who were like, I don't really like it when you say it this way. Can we put it that way? And they can send back edits or whatever. You know, that's totally fine. They're taking the time out of their day to be on your podcast. So ultimately, give them all the leeway that they need. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, just, you know, make that information available, and then give them time to advertise themselves, because they're writers, they're podcasters, they're trying to sell books, they're trying to make a livelihood too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, just make sure that you give them the space to do that.
Yeah, of course. And I think those are some really great tips for anybody who's starting a podcast. And I know one of the things that I do, you talk about like advertising yourself while on this podcast, I kind of ask the guest and then I do like a pre-recorded bit at the end for that.
Oh,
so,
sure.
Yeah, like I think that's definitely another option, but I like that idea that, you know, having the guests kind of talk about themselves. I might try that. But mm-hmm. So you talk about how you host with Podbean. So what are some good places for beginner podcasters to start, if you know of any?
So I started out on Podbean. Podbean has unlimited hosting for like $100 a year. They don't add like any extra ads or anything unless you tell them to. So you have more freedom to kind of add your own stuff. I have heard that Anchor is really good. I think that Anchor is free, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm on Anchor and it's totally free.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so I mean, I've heard that it's really good. I mean, would you recommend it?
Yeah, I've had a great experience so far. I would recommend it.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, go with Anchor because it's free. You know, start out with something that you're going to be comfortable with. Don't choose something that's going to have all these fancy bells and whistles, because when you're first starting out, you're not going to use them. It's not going to happen. You're not going to know what half of the sliders and the buttons and the whatever are for. So yeah, I mean, just kind of start out there and host there. I mean, you can start out on YouTube. You know, YouTube is free too. Mm-hmm. You know, record your podcast, upload them to YouTube. And, you know, with the ads on YouTube, you can make a tiny little revenue off that if that's what you're keen on. You know, you can do that as well. But yeah, unfortunately, I only have experience with Podbean. So,
yeah.
Which I find to be an awesome platform. I mean, I have absolutely no complaints about Podbean. Mm-hmm. Their customer service is amazing. If you have an issue, they are on it. So yeah, I mean, I'd recommend, if you don't mind paying $100 a year, you know, it's worth it for the customer service alone. Basically, yeah. in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a really good recommendation. And I think that, like, one of the things that I was kind of nervous about when I was starting a podcast is I didn't really know where to start. So I think that's good that you bring up, like, Podbean. Or I think that's something else that's super important that you kind of touched on is, like, doing your research when you're starting mm-hmm. a podcast. Like, what do all the buttons do? Like, how can I kind of improve
right.
this? I mean, like, going in, I don't know how much experience. Well, you said that you had some journalism experience going into your podcast.
Oh, sure.
But I really had, like, nothing. So, you know, like, YouTube and articles is really kind of how I learned a lot of the things. So I think that you bring a good point in there.
Well, and I mean, when it comes to podcasting, I mean, I had to do all the Googling and, you know, listen to reviews from other podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who does a podcast called Genuine Chit Chat. His name is Mike Burton. And he's really been a huge help, too, in, you know, just trying to figure out, like, how does Zoom work? Like, how do I change this file from an M4U, whatever the hell it is, to an MP3 so that I can put it into Audacity and, like, actually work with it? So, yeah, I mean, you know, again, reaching out to the community to try to figure out, like, what is going on? Like, how do I do this? How do I, you know, and I'm not technologically savvy. I've never been that person who's been technologically savvy. I'm more of a creative sort. So, like, put something in front of me that needs to be put together and it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Don't give me IKEA furniture. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, when it came to, like, you know, choosing what platform I wanted to be on, I was like, well, wait, what is like me proof? Like, like, what can I do that I cannot screw up? Like, I can't possibly screw this up unless I delete it. But the delete button looks like a trash can. So I'm probably not going to hit the I'll probably be okay with that. But yeah, it's a learning curve. I don't know how many episodes I recorded that, you know, my microphone was muted and we had to go back and re-record that episode again because my microphone was muted over the course of like an hour and a half show that myself and my co-host were, you know, going back and forth and like having really good, genuine discussions. And then we had to go back and do them all over again because it just didn't work out. Or like, you know, you plug in your microphone, you know, one day into your USB because I use a USB microphone. So, you know, you plug in your microphone to your USB and, oh, well, but that USB port doesn't work. And then, you know, you have to go back and you have to do it all again. So, I mean, it's trial and error, getting the audio just right. I mean, it's a struggle for every new podcaster. You know, I would say if you're starting out and, you know, you don't really know what to do about audio quality, find the quietest spot in your house, if that's a closet. Put yourself in the closet and record your podcast. Invest in some foam. I mean, I'm surrounded by, you know, this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cheap. You can get 50 pieces for like $50 on Amazon. If you go on eBay, it's even cheaper because you can buy it used.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's really just all about like doing what makes you feel comfortable for now. Getting the audio quality as best as you can, you know, work through the issues that you have, reach out to other people who are already experienced in the areas that you're having problems in, and, you know, just, I mean, do the best you can, you know? I mean, that's that's all really anybody can ask of you, is to do the best you can.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, and I think that you make a good point with the audio quality and mistakes, and I know I was just editing an episode this morning, and I open up the file, and I'm like, oh my goodness, it wasn't recording from my USB mic. My computer mic caught the whole thing, so, I was like, a big shock there, but I was like, oh no, wait, what? Like, but, yeah, we all have mistakes, and yeah, I think that you have a good point in that, like, podcasting has become so readily available with like free platforms that like you can really like get started and try it out before you need to invest in like a ton of fancy equipment.
Exactly. Well, and Podbean too, if you decide to go with Podbean because you feel more comfortable paying for hosting or whatever, I believe you can upload like 5 hours of audio for free. So if you upload, say, 5 1-hour episodes, and you don't really like the service, or you find that the customer service isn't really, you know, what you'd want, then you can take those episodes and go somewhere else, and it's no harm, no foul. I think that that's really nice. That's a really nice option that they have.
Yeah, I think that's a really good tip, and that was kind of one of the reasons I started out with Anchor, because I wasn't, like, sure if I was going to, like, continue So I wanted to, like, you know, try something free first. But yeah, so I think, like, kind of segueing into the next segment on my list. So what's been the most challenging part about podcasting for you?
Probably, and I really hope that this doesn't come off as, like, too self-involved or, like, whatever. I'm always very conscious of, like, what I say and the way that I say things, because I hate word vomit. But the hardest thing for me was working with other people. That was, like, the hardest. I'm a communications major. I like talking to people. I like interacting with people. But when it came to working with another person, it was a real struggle for me because I had, like, I knew how I wanted it to look and how I wanted it to sound. And that other person was always, like, sitting too far away from the mic or, like, sitting too close to the mic or, like, talking around. Like, you know, like, rustling their paper or whatever. And I couldn't do it. Like, mentally, I had a really hard time. I started dreading recording because I knew that when we started to record, you know, they were going to be moving their chair and, you know, rustling their paper and clearing their throat and, you know, whatever. And it's like, dude, you know, I mean, I don't want to put out this, like, you know, incredibly impeccable, you know, recording. Like, I understand that is impossible. Like, you're going to have recordings that have little faults or little, you know, little drops in audio or whatever. Like, I totally get that. But I mean, it was like they weren't trying as hard as I was. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much I said, please move your chair. Like, this microphone will pick up a mouse fart at, like, 500 paces. You can't move your chair. It's going to sound like a giant dragging, you know, like, you can't do that. You know, you can't rustle your papers because that's going to be really loud. It's going to be really unpleasant to people's ears. And I think that because I wanted to podcast and I was passionate about podcasting, that was one thing. They were also passionate about, like, the creepy and, like, the paranormal and stuff like that, like I was. But I was the one recording and I was the one editing. Mm-hmm. And I think because I was the one doing all of that, that they just didn't, it didn't ever come into their head.
Yeah.
That,
absolutely.
Oh, well, you know, when I listen to this back, this is going to sound like garbage because, you know, I'm moving like 4 or 5 sheets of paper for 40 minutes and they just didn't understand how it sounded. But yeah, I mean, I would say in terms of challenges, the working with other people was probably the most challenging thing that I've had to do. Unfortunately, I mean, I do like working with other people. You know, I do like doing interviews and, you know, talking to other people that way. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's got a lot to do with the fact that my podcast is my baby and I've been mm-hmm. working on it for so long and, like, honing my talents and, like, trying to, you know, make sure that I have good quality content and that it sounds good, that now working with somebody else, it's just completely out of the question at this point. I can't do it.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I think, like, I'm the kind of, like, antisocial person who, like, if I can't find something at Target, I'd rather, like, walk around the store for, like, 2 hours than just ask somebody who works there.
Right. Right. Maybe somebody took something and left it on a shelf randomly in, like, soft lines. And I'll find what I was looking for, even though I was looking for pears. Like...
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. Like, thank you. But, yep. So what's been your favorite part about podcasting so far? If there is one favorite aspect...
Yeah, I was going to say that's going to be a struggle. I mean, I guess if I had to choose one, it would be meeting so many different kinds of people. I'm originally from Canada and a lot of the people that that I talk to are from Canada or from the US, but then occasionally you get people who are, like, you know, communicating with you from, you know, places in the UK. I've had people, you know, send me emails from Central America saying, hey, you know, I love your podcast. You know, can you do this the next time you're going to cover a topic? And I think that that's probably, you know, the coolest part about podcasting is connecting with other people all over the world. I mean, literally, like, everywhere. I'm not surprised anymore when I open up my email and somebody's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm from this place that you've never heard of before and listening to your podcast. And could you? And so, I mean, there have been times where I've had to Google, like, where is this place? Where is that place? Because I have no idea. And, yeah, I mean, I talk to people from England, Ireland, anywhere in the U.S., anywhere in Canada. Yeah, I mean, it's super cool to be able to create something and know that other people are listening. And then in terms of knowing that other people are listening, probably a close second has been getting recognized. So I think most recently I went to, and like, don't get me wrong, this does not happen all the time. Like, I'm not like, you know, yeah, you do this podcast. Like, no, there's not people like breaking down my door, like, you know, because I'm so famous. But like, for example, I went to Kohl's because I had to return something to Amazon. And I asked the lady at the front entrance, who was, you know, making sure everybody had their masks and everything on, where was the Amazon returns? Because it used to be at the front of the store and they moved it way to the back of the store, which, not a fan of that, Kohl's, but whatever. So I asked her, you know, where is the drop-off? And she was quiet for a minute and she was like, Yeah, it's in the back of the store. She's like, wait a second, do you do a podcaster? And I was like, yeah. And you never want to say, yes, I podcast, and here's the name of my, because you never know if you said something that somebody is going to be offended by. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're in a public place with a stranger, and like, she could be Karen, you don't know. So it's, you know, it's like touchy. And so she's like, yeah, you do a podcast. She's like, do you do the identity podcast? And I said, yes. She was like, oh my God, I love that podcast, you know, whatever. And so by the time we finished our conversation, and shout out again to Bonnie at Kohl's, you rock. By the time I got to the back, to the Amazon returns station, the other two ladies who were standing there had heard from Bonnie that I was in the front of the store, and one of the ladies listened to the podcast, and the other one was in the process of downloading it by the time I got back there.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, it's happened a couple of times, literally a couple of times, twice. But I mean, it's just nice to know that somebody else is listening, because I think, you know, podcasting is, it's a lot like writing. It's a very solitary act. Unless you're podcasting with a bunch of other people. If you're a solo podcast, it's a very solitary existence. You create your content, you talk to your listeners, and you do that week after week after week. So I think that just knowing that somebody else is paying attention or somebody else is listening, because you can look at the numbers and be like, oh, look, you know, I got 200 downloads today. That's awesome. But they're just numbers. So, like, at the end of the day, you're like, yeah, I got 200 listens. But they're, like, they're all trans-empirical, right? Like, they're not tactile things. And so to actually meet somebody who's like, yeah, I listen to your podcast and I love it. And, you know, she was like, can you do more urban legend stuff? Because I love that stuff. Like, I love that creepy stuff. And I was like, I mean, it's all creepy, but okay. You know, and yeah, I mean, we only talked for like 5 minutes or whatever. But I mean, it was really cool. It was really, really cool.
Wow, that does sound really cool. And I was like, oh my goodness, the lady at Kohl's downloading your show. That sounds so cool. Like, I don't know if that'll happen.
Yeah,
to
well,
me,
and but... you know what? Another really awesome tip is buy some cardstock, make some little cards with your podcast link on them, and carry them in your pocket. Hmm. Because I don't know how many new listeners I've gotten just overhearing people like in a line at the grocery store, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you know, I listened to this podcast where like it was true crime and this guy cut up his wife and put her in a freezer, and I love true crime podcasts and blah 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 blah." And I don't do a lot of true crime podcasting, but I have a podcast network. Mm-hmm. And on my little card is my link to my podcast and also the link to the podcast network. So I was like, listen, you know, hey, I don't mean to, you know, intrude or whatever, but if you like true crime podcasts, we have a lot of true crime podcasts on our network. And then they have this little card that they can take with them. And, you know, most of the time people are like, hey, that's really cool. Thanks so much. And a lot of the time they're like, thank you, complete stranger, for eavesdropping on my conversation. Great. Appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, even like going to local businesses and being like, hey, can I post this and attach a couple of cards to it? Mm-hmm. Paper is not dead, people. Like, you can get a lot of people listening to your podcast and paying attention just by putting up a flyer.
Yeah.
As long as it's in a busy place and, like, there's not a whole lot of other crap going on. Yeah, I mean, put one up at Starbucks and, you know, see what happens. I mean, you never know. You might only get two more listens from it, but that's two more listeners you didn't have yesterday.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that you bring up a good point in that, like, you know, each listener is, like, so unique and different. And, I mean, I'm always so excited to, like, you know, if I get, like, I don't know, 10 listens, and I'm just starting out, so my numbers are a bit lower.
Sure.
But, yeah, like, it's just kind of exciting to see and grow and just, like, kind of see how the process, where the process takes you. So I just have one final question. I won't keep you too long, but what's some kind of wrap-up advice that you'd give to brand-new podcasters?
Let's see. Probably, so what I really wish somebody had told me when I started podcasting was don't get frustrated when you plateau. Because you will. It's going to happen. There are a lot of people out there creating new podcasts. The market is saturated.
Mm-hmm.
There is a podcast for literally everything and every show and every animal on earth. And so for people to choose your podcast out of millions of, you know, I don't know how many podcasts there are, but I mean, let's say millions of podcasts. For those people to choose you, that's a big deal. Inevitably, after you start podcasting, you're going to experience a plateau. You're going to notice that your numbers aren't really going anywhere. You know, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get downtrodden about it because, you know, you're putting all this work and effort into it, you know, editing it, you're spending all these hours on it. And then, you know, what the hell? Nobody's listening to it. If you hit that plateau, don't get discouraged. Keep podcasting. Keep doing what you love. But also step it up on your social media channels. You know, do different stuff. Like I said, collaborate with your other podcasters. You know, your other podcast friends. Get in there. See what they're doing. See if you can go on one of their shows. Bring them on your show. Like I said, I mean, you never know where you're going to get a listener from. And ultimately, that's what it is. I mean, this is sales. What you're doing is you're selling yourself and you're selling a concept.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, ultimately, all you have to do is sell it the best that you can and just not get discouraged, you know, because, I mean, like I said, you might get two listens tomorrow. The next day, nobody will download. The next day after that, nobody will download, and you'll be like, oh, well, what am I doing wrong? Well, maybe you're not doing anything wrong. You know, maybe you're just hitting that kind of wall, and you just kind of have to figure out a way to get over it. And the best thing to do is just push through it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that comes back to, kind of comes full circle to what we were talking about before, which is like the reason why you're podcasting, because like if you're doing it for yourself or you're doing it because you love it, it might be easier to get through that plateau.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that's a good wrap up ending place for today's discussion. Thank you so much for joining me, Janine. This was a really great conversation. I was so lucky to have you today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Super fun talking to you. And I wish you all the best on your future podcast endeavors.
Yes, you too. A special thanks to Janine for joining me today. You can check out her podcast, The Audentity Podcast, for your weekly foray into the world of the weird, wonky, and sometimes downright spooky at their website, www.theaudentitypodcast.wordpress.com, or on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook @AutentityPodcast. If you're looking to discover some new podcasts, try Dean's Network, PodMoth, @PodMoth.network for some other super cool podcasts. You can check out this podcast on our website, www.fascinatingjobs.xyz, or on Instagram @fascinating_jobs_pod, or Twitter @fascinatingjobs. Tag me with any questions, comments, and be sure to subscribe, rate, or review wherever you listen to this podcast to let us know you're enjoying it. And if you or someone you know has a fascinating job, email us @fascinatingjobspod@gmail.com for a chance to be a guest on the show. Thank you so much for listening and enjoying this podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode.